Welcome to the Hey Sis Yes You podcast, a community, a sisterhood, a place where women thriving is the vision and seeing sis through is the goal. I hope you leave this episode with your head held a little higher and your cup much fuller. Take a seat and let's chat about you. Hey sis, I wanted to give a trigger warning for this episode for infant loss, as our guest shares her story and her own personal experience with losing her baby. Please be aware that we will touch on that in this episode. Thank you again for being here. Hello, hello. Welcome back to the Hey Sis Yes You podcast. I am your host, Jaleesa, and today, oh my gosh, all of heaven rejoices right now, okay, because I have my beautiful sis, Charlotte. OMG. I'm so excited. You have no idea. Charlotte is just a pillar in the faith. She is a big sister to me. She is a friend, a creative. Oh my gosh, she is a prophetess, okay? My sis be speaking. My sis be speaking to me. I be nervous when her name pops up on my phone because I know the Lord is right there with her fingers texting me, okay? Oh. Everybody welcome my beautiful sister Charlotte to the podcast. The prophetess, okay? I never in my life call someone a prophetess. Hello, sis. How are you today?
Hey. I'm just so excited to be here with you. I've been listening to every episode that you've rolled out, and I'm just like, that last one with Gina.
Girl.
Sanctifying.
You like, feel me?
Driving.
I know.
I'm about to crash. Like, what is happening?
I know. I literally leave every episode, every interview, like, wrecked. I mean, I'm on my face with praise to the Lord for these conversations. And I know today is going to take me out. Okay. Sis, Charlotte, would you introduce yourself to the listeners of the Hey Sis Yes You podcast?
All right. So about me, I always have such a hard time with this. I just don't know what to say, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm just Charlotte. But about me, I'm a mom of two girls that I love so much. Mm-hmm. I have my husband of 18 years this year.
Wow.
And I live outside of Chicago. I am originally from Ottawa, Ontario.
Mm.
Here in Chicago. Well, in Chicago in 2007, been here ever since. But my family is still back in Canada, and I miss them very much.
Yeah.
You know, by day I work for a global marketing agency, and I just recently went back to corporate America.
Yeah.
That's a story we'll talk about maybe. Yeah. And then, but I'm also the owner of Pine Size Bathe, which is you know, faith based apparel line, and
one of our favorites.
And Jaleesa, you are like, you and your family were the first ones to really like rock with us. So thank you.
Yes. We rock heavy with Pint Size Faith. Okay.
So much. But that's pretty much it. Like, that's me. A little bit.
Yes. Okay. Well, I love you so much. And I can go on and on to share why I asked you to be on my podcast. But a little bit I want to share before we get into your story is that I met Charlotte on Instagram, as I have everybody so far, well, except for one that has been on the podcast so far. And I was a young mom. I maybe had two kids at the time. And oh my gosh, I don't know what it was. It's like, you know, God yokes people together. Like, he really does. And I think we often use that for marriage, but that is so true for friendship. And oh man, God yoked Charlotte and I together. It's so crazy. We've never met in person, but that will change soon. That will change soon. We get to see each other in a couple months. I'm so excited. But having never even touched each other's flesh, okay, this woman has been just a pillar in my life. I am better off because I know Charlotte. There has been moments when I am stuck. I mean, I am stuck in marriage, motherhood. I have been through some of the hardest moments of my life. Charlotte has been on my phone. God just put it on her heart to speak into me. And it is so insane how we could be so yoked together and have never even met. I mean, there's been mental health moments that I couldn't have gotten through without Charlotte. There has been moments in motherhood when I have had like lot the loss of a baby or just disappointment, news from the doctor, and Charlotte has been there. It is so insane. Closer than some people in my own family, Charlotte has just rocked with me. And so having her on here today is so special because I feel like I keep saying that, "Hey sis, yes you," is my love letter to women. And this feels like I'm loving on them extra today, letting the people hear from you and having you on here. So before we got into it, I just had to give you your flowers for who you have been in my life. And the craziest thing is some people closest to me have been going through hard times, and I'm talking to them, and they're like, "If it wasn't for Charlotte, I don't know how I would have gotten through this season." And I'm like, "This is you are the ultimate big sis. Like,
What?
you are just,
Oh, I just started. We just started. No, I will not cry on this
Oh yeah, Charlotte is like
podcast.
set against crying on this
Hey,
episode,
I'm
okay?
a thug. I
There
don't.
has been a thug tear shed on every episode so far, sis, okay? We'll see, we'll see. So, Charlotte, my beautiful sis, tell us a little bit about yourself. We want to hear your story. Whatever part of your story you want to share, we want
Even know
to
where to start, but
hear.
I'll say this. God has been so good to me. Like just today, was it today or yesterday? I was actually driving. And do you like have these moments when you're in your car and you're listening to worship music and then you start thinking about what God has done for you?
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes we don't always realize like how He's been in our lives and how like when you get caught up with the day-to-day, wake up, take the kids to school, do your life, but then sometimes you have to sit down and really think about how far He's brought you. And literally that was for me yesterday. I was driving, sat there, and I was like, what? Like you ever like does that happen to you? Because it happened
Oh,
to me.
yeah.
And
Oh,
I was
yeah.
thinking, like just even from my childhood, how I grew up and the things that we've been through as a family and how He literally uprooted me from Ottawa, Ontario. Like nobody really knows where that is. You know what I mean? Like
Right.
this small town. And He placed me in Chicago. And first of all, I would have never imagined I would live here. So that's one.
Right.
It was intentional for my husband, who's from the south side of Chicago, to me. And everything is just so orchestrated. And so I was thinking about that the other day. And I was like, of course, I cried. But also, he's just so intentional. So, my story is one of when you think about it, just life in general, I grew up in a household where my father was into witchcraft. And I thought it was normal. I thought it was normal. I
Wow.
didn't realize that till later. Which way did that? You don't do witchcraft. But yeah. So I grew up in African background, and not to say that all Africans are like that, but that's what was going on in my house. And so to
Right.
me, I didn't realize a lot of things that I was battling spiritually. I just didn't understand them till later. And so
Yeah.
you think about that and just life in general, I just see that God's life was in my God's hand was on my life. And I'm just thankful for that.
Yes, was he sure was, because we get to all experience that. Okay, so when you think about like your life and your journey, little Charlotte to now, like what are some things about your story or some moments that you really see the hand of God in your life?
There are a lot. I think one of them for me is marriage. Never wanted to get married.
Yeah.
Like I never wanted to get married. And hold on, let me go back to what you asked because you said from little Charlotte to now, like what transitioned from my childhood to now? Is that what you mean? Like
Yeah, like just some parts of your story where you really see like the hand of God, the faithfulness of God.
yeah, I think just, I'm gonna say in my marriage because I didn't want to get married. I didn't always have or see the greatest example of marriage personally, and so I didn't want that. And maybe like this old lady with cats, and I was like, I had planned it, but God, like I said, uprooted me from Ottawa, placed me here with this man that I love, that has been so good to me, and that has really showed me God's love. That makes sense. Like, you know how sometimes God loves us through people?
Oh, yeah.
Like, he has shown me patience and just love through my husband. And
Yeah.
think about that and where I came from, it's like night and day. And but also get to experience a really good man. And my daughters get to experience a really good father. And to me, I watched that, and to me, it's for me, it's like God has redeemed like the relationship that I didn't have with my dad through my daughters, because they get
Wow.
to experience that. And because they experienced that, they're not going to make some of the mistakes I had to make because of
Yeah.
it. But also because they get to experience that, I also feel that a relationship with God is a direct, there's a direct connection with a relationship with God and a relationship with their fathers, earthly fathers.
Yeah.
I don't agree with that, but I found that a lot of my friends who didn't really have a relationship with their dad had a hard time connecting with God, because how can you
Yeah.
connect a God that you see that says that he's your father when you don't have the relationship with your father here on earth? And to me, I had a lot of trust issues when it came to like with God. And I now understand that it was because of the lack of relationship I had with my father here. Make sense?
Yeah,
And
yeah.
so for my daughters not to have to experience that, I see them as such a young, they're such young women, but they're girls, but they love Christ. Especially my oldest one, we call her the preacher.
I
But
love it. She's so precious.
thank you. But yeah, so essentially that's one of the ways that the Lord has, you know, smiled on me.
Yeah. That's beautiful. I love that. I agree with you actually about that. I think a lot of the times the way that we see God reflects, or the way that we relate to God or connect to God reflects our experiences. Some people see him like only as a master. Some people see him only as a king. Some people see him as like daddy God. And some people, so yeah, I agree. I agree. Yeah. So, okay. I love, Pint Size Faith is your brand, right? But Pint Size Faith is actually your story. And so I would love to hear some, or I would love for people to hear more about Pint Size Faith, the brand, but really just the way that that is actually just your story.
So I think I told you before when we were, you know, working out this recording date that today was very special for me.
Yeah.
Because I think it was in 2000, well, it was in 2011, April 11, 2011, that I lost a child. I was real, like, well into my pregnancy, and then, you know, my water broke, and I ended up being in the hospital losing a child. I want to say like 6 months into my pregnancy, and that was very hard for me. I mean, it'd be hard for anybody, but imagine like nobody tells you what happens after you lose a child,
Yeah.
specifically well into a pregnancy like
Right.
this.
Right.
I mean, I didn't know what was happening when that happened. I was rushed to the hospital, and while I was there, obviously I had to give birth to the child, to our child, and the team of doctors came in after trying to figure out what happened with me. It was like a lot of people in that room. You know how it is,
Yeah.
like trying to figure out what's going on. Everything happened so quickly. And I was eventually told that I would never have children. That's what I was told. And they said they didn't know why. And I might need surgery, whatever, whatever. So I was like, okay, cool. Well, I wasn't okay, cool at the time. I'm fine with it now, but I wasn't back then. But I'll never forget this one nurse who came in and said, she said, you'll be back here one day and you'll have a child. And at the time, I was like, lady, not now, please. Like, you know, I didn't want to hear all
Yeah.
that because I wasn't really like in a frame of mind where I wanted to hear that. And also, there's just a lot of things that come, a lot of accusations from the enemy that comes with a miscarriage,
Yeah.
specifically when it comes to your own history.
Yeah.
Things that might have happened, might have not happened with you. I'll leave that for another day. But I say this to say he accused me that I wasn't a woman enough to have a child. And I was already advanced in my age because I think I had Mariah in my 30s and I had Micah in my mid-30s. I was pretty like, most women have children early. I wasn't one of them. Okay. And so also being African, again, I speak for my family. You know, get married 2 months, where's the baby? You know, I got married at 26. My mom was like, lady, where's my birth certificate? You know what I mean? Yeah. And so that was stressing too. And so I say this to say it was quite an experience. But when I got home, as I was saying, nobody tells you what happens to your body after you have a child. So your body thinks you had a child, but you don't know you didn't come home with the body doesn't know you didn't come home with a baby. And so producing milk because I was that far. That was so depressing, Delisa. It was depressing. But God redeemed and restored everything, obviously. And I started Pine Size Faith for that reason. I had my first child, Uriah, which means the light of God. I decided that I was going to create something to dedicate back to him because he literally gave me my faith back through my child. You know what I mean? And then there, Micah came along, and that her name means who is like God? Because first of all, who is like God? He gave me two children. I think I wouldn't have any children. You know what I mean?
Wow, praise God.
But that's essentially the brand. And when we started for children only. And then people started requesting, bigger sizes. And it said that's but essentially that's the story behind Fine Size Faith. And I will tell you how good God is. So I think there's a scripture that says set stones of remembrance.
Ebenezer stones.
So when Nariah was born, no, when I lost the first child, a boy, I was at Rush Hospital here in Chicago. And the nurse who told me that I'll be back here, I promise you, she must have been an angel because what? She said, you'd be back here, which to me didn't make any sense because I live nowhere near Rush Hospital, but they have transported me there for that specific reason. So because where I was, they couldn't do the procedure. So I had to go to another hospital. Anyway, the name of the hospital was Rush Hospital. So 2 years ago, Micah had an audition for a commercial. Okay. Listen to this, buddy. So the audition for a commercial. Now the commercial, I didn't think she was gonna get it because she did horribly. Horrible. Like I was like, yeah, we can get that, we can get that, whatever. We can get but she ended up getting it. So when you audition for something, sometimes they'll tell you what it's for. They'll tell you like bits and pieces, and then after that, you'll know who it's for. Girl, do you know that that commercial was for Rush Hospital? That's what it was called, the aftermath. That's what it was called, the aftermath. It wasn't.
Oh my gosh.
Girl, and I cried because and that was 10 years after. And so when that happened, was this, yeah, it was like 2011. Yeah, it was 2021. Yeah. When that happened, I was like, what? It's so good. He never forgets you. We sometimes think that he forgets. He don't. He's good.
That was your Ebenezer.
Yes, he's good. And so that's essentially, I'm all over the place. But anyway, that's essentially the reason why we created Princess Fate. So, yeah.
I don't even know how to like dive into this. There's so much in my heart right now. First and foremost, just praise God. Because look at you have those girls and they're so just beautiful and lively and just I just love watching you, mother. It is such a beautiful thing. Okay, so the aftermath, I feel like that is actually the conversation. So let's talk a little bit about the aftermath of losing your baby boy.
Mm.
So, what was that journey like? Obviously, you did eventually get blessed with two beautiful, healthy little girls, but there was an in-between period. What was that journey like, for you as a woman, battling those lies from the enemy, that diagnosis from the doctors, the postpartum journey without a baby? Yeah, what was that like? Because obviously that was the aftermath, the original aftermath, right?
Right.
Was the journey from losing the baby boy to Naraya. So what was that like for you?
I don't know how to explain it because it's kind of a weird feeling, to be honest. The journey was obviously very difficult.
Yeah.
And I didn't know then what I know now. And what I mean is I didn't have the coping skills. Not that there are coping skills for anything like this, but spiritually, I didn't know.
Yeah.
I didn't know to go to God. I was freaking mad, actually.
Yeah.
Really,
Yeah, I bet.
this, you know. But in the end of it, he was glorified either way. You know what I mean? And so I didn't understand that. Sometimes things happen. I know it's sometimes I actually I don't know why sometimes things happen. I don't know why this happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
But and you know, there are no real, you know, reasons or explanation. But the aftermath, to answer your question, was very hard. It was difficult. I couldn't look at a pregnant woman without, you know, thinking, oh, well, that was me. You know what I mean? And the fear after when I did get pregnant with Naraya. Intense. Because every month I was like bracing for not disaster, but I wasn't trusting of God.
Yeah,
You know what I mean? Because I didn't know. And as I got to 6 months when it happened to me, I was like, or it was a 6 or 7 months, I don't remember exactly, but it was between 6 and 7 months. And I was scared. In fear, I really did, and but I did stand on Exodus 24, I think 6. Is it 24, 6? I don't know. But it says, "No woman shall be barren in this land." And every time the thoughts of being scared came, I kept saying that, I kept saying that, I kept saying that, and it came to pass. And so, but yeah, it was difficult. I had constantly like. Remembered that he's good despite it, but it's weird because I believed what I didn't believe. I had a lot of doubt, and honestly, I was scared, girl.
Well, thank you for sharing that. Like, that is unimaginable, and there are so many women who have that story. My cousin, she gave birth to a stillborn baby girl at 39 weeks, and I was pregnant with my third at the time. We were pregnant together, and so I watched her walk through that, and I know the pain has to be so unimaginable. And so thank you for sharing that so vulnerably with us. And also, I'm sorry that you endured that pain, because you're right, like there really is no explanation and there's no understanding. And I'm also grateful that you are willing to share that, like, yeah, in that moment I was kind of angry with God. I didn't understand the why, and I still don't. And I think that is good to hear that, because God isn't afraid of our frustrations or our anger, and those are very real feelings and emotions from a God who created feelings and emotions, And so thank you for sharing that. One thing that really is standing out to me right now is you started the episode sharing how good God has been to you. And then we get to this part in your journey where it didn't feel like maybe he was being so good. And so it almost circles back around to that concept of pint-sized faith, because it's a small faith, right? It's a mustard seed of faith. It's a little bit amount of faith. And that just carries such a heavy weight. And so when you think about some of those moments, like losing your baby, and I'm sure there's other moments where you really feel like your faith was hanging on by a thread. What are some of the ways that you, like you said, now you have different coping, right? Different coping mechanisms. What are some of the ways that you have learned in those processes and those journeys and those moments that are hard in your story to have a big faith? What are some of the things that you've learned about coping or just about clinging to whatever little bit of faith that you do have?
So there's a scripture, and here it comes, my ESL. I don't know what it is in English, but in French, it's, which I think translates to.
Oh, that was beautiful. Hold up, say it again. Say
Which
it
means, oh Lord, help me. Each day carries its own troubles or something like
again.
that.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
What is it? Tell me what it
Yeah, so I'm
is.
thinking of when Jesus says, like, do not worry for about tomorrow, for
That's it.
tomorrow carries enough worries of its own.
That's it. And
Yeah.
so that's what literally I did. That's
Wow.
all I literally do. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? And whoo, Lord, I've been through some things, Lord. But yeah, that's all I could do. That's
Yeah.
all I could do.
Yeah.
Scripture is powerful because sometimes I didn't really believe what I said.
Yeah. I get
But
that.
I still said it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I still said it because I knew that if I be said it enough, I would believe it
Yeah.
eventually. And that's not for just anything. This is strictly for scripture. Nothing.
Right.
You know what I mean? For me. And
Right.
so, because I just knew that despite everything I was going through, I still had some faith. Like,
Yeah.
it must succeed, as you said. So
Yeah.
that's literally how I held
Yeah.
on.
Yeah. That's actually really good because I like really struggle with anxiety and I'm constantly trying to remind myself of that same thing and I don't do a great job at it. It's like not worrying about like anxiety is really just like I am worried about something that has not happened yet that may never actually happen. That's what anxiety is like for me, right? And so when I think about you sharing about your baby and then having pregnancies after that, which obviously came with a fear of could this happen again? Clinging to that, that scripture and those words, that living word that reminds us to not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough worries of its own. And I love that you're sharing that because I think that oftentimes we want to hear from somebody this like giant, like I've overcome, like the battle has been won. Like I knew with all the faith in me that God was going to restore my womb and God. And for a lot of us, that's not how it happens. And I think it, I hope that women hear that and hear that it just is a little bit. You just have to give a little bit of what you got to believe that something good can come and to not worry that it might not come, And so I love that. And then you birthed Pint Size Faith. And tell us a little bit about the brand. Tell us a little bit about the brand and what your mission is. And yeah, I mean, Pint Size Faith is so cool. So tell us about it.
You so much. We're a bit on a break right now. We're kind of like finding new
Breaks
things.
are okay.
Have great things coming, so I'm super excited about that. But I did a sketch. I was working at Apple at the time, and I was pregnant with Micah, I believe. And I worked from home, and I was in my crazy sketchy way. At the first, you can't. JLM, Jesus Loves Me. That was our first shirt that we sketched.
Yeah.
I sketched, and I was like, yeah, this is it. And my husband was like, all right, let's do it. And so we did it, and it was really successful. I thought that one of the reasons I didn't wanna I created the brand obviously to give thanks to God for my children, but also I'm very minimal in my son.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find anything for my children that I liked. That like, I'm dressing you, so I gotta like what I buy. You know what I mean? That I liked for them. And so that's another reason why we created the Pint Size Fake brand. But it's been really good, and just excited for what's to come, and the things that we're working on. So stay tuned.
Yes, I'm so excited about that. I still want that camo jacket, but
Girl,
whatever.
I'll make it for you. Just it
Listen, there was this camo
back,
jacket
sis.
that I got.
It
I don't know. I left it at the beach. That's what happened. I left it at the beach and I went
to
back. It was gone, friend. Somebody saw that and they were like, oh, that's cute. Because I went back to look for it and it was gone. Okay.
I see you. When I see you in a few months, I'm gonna bring you some.
Yay! No, I love it. I love it. Everything that you put out has just a beautiful message of faith, on it. And I think that it's my favorite thing is like wearing, I love wearing Christian apparel because it really, I'm always reading people's shirts. I'm always reading people's like bumper stickers, their shirts, their stuff. And it like really does tell you about the person without you
Right.
having a chance to speak to them. So I love wearing your stuff. Okay. So you have done Pint Size Faith and you're a mother of two little girls. You're a wife of 18 years, which is huge. Wow. What has been something in your journey of entrepreneurship, of motherhood, of marriage? These are all like subcategories of womanhood for you. What is something that you have learned in those individual journeys about, you know, yourself, the woman Charlotte? Like sometimes, like we talked about Gina, the podcast, Motherhood is Sanctifying, right? And how motherhood like draws us nearer to God. And we like I talked about with our good sis Tosh, it's almost like this mirror put in front of you of like, do you want to see who you really are? Let me show you through these kids. But it's also that way in marriage and in entrepreneurship. What I have learned is that I actually am learning a lot about myself, like the intentions of my heart, my truest desires. It has really like made me look at myself in a different light and has challenged me in a lot of ways. So I'm curious for you, like you've been in the game, motherhood, marriage, and entrepreneurship longer than me. And I would love to hear some of those things that you've learned about yourself along the way.
So I'm gonna start with entrepreneurship. Motive matters. Why are you doing this? Who are you doing it for? I told you that when I started Pint Size Fate, it was to honor God. And since I we got away from that for a bit because like the was it what cover what magazine did we Essence magazine called like. Oh, you know what I mean? Like Tyler Perry Studios ordered shirts. Okay, we made it. And then it was slowly getting away from the purpose it started from. So we took a break. Good for a break, baby. I'll take a break from my business any day because it needs to honor God. And the minute I start getting away from that, I'll take a break because it ain't that serious to me. I need to understand that the talent I got, the gifts that we get, the ideas that we get them from God. And so when we start lifting the gift above the giver, then that's, you know what I mean? And so
You better
that's
preach.
why.
Holla.
Now
Holla.
we'll take a break, honey. We'll take a break. So
I
that's why.
love that.
So the way God deals with us, or me specifically, He will not talk. He will not give me any ideas, honey. He'll be like, and so motive matters always in business. Motherhood. It's challenging right now because I'm raising a preteen. And not challenging in a way that she's a bad kid because she's not. She's but I'm seeing who I am. And I'm very African. I'm very much immigrant. And I think that sometimes my approach is harsh, but also that's how I grew up. And so I'm not making excuses, but it don't work with Naraya. My kids, oh, you know what I mean? She's very not sensitive because I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. You know what I mean? But she's not like me.
Yeah.
I have to, she's a kid. Remember that, Charlotte. It's like she's not a girl. She's a kid. So you need to speak to her in a way that she understands.
Yeah.
Also, because she's very emotionally, give me a word that, what am I trying to say? She's very aware of her feelings. And she doesn't want me to talk to her sideways, which I was like, not like she ain't go, like, we're not Teslas, but very like, mommy, why don't you say this instead of this? You know what I mean? Like, instead of, because you're close, she'll be like, why don't you say, Naraya, why don't you just pick up your clothes off the floor and put them aside? I'm supposed to pick up your clothes right now. Like, that's what she tells me. She's 12, you know what I mean? And she's so much more aware than I am. But the new kids, they know, you know what I mean?
They're
And
different.
they're so different. And again, I didn't grow up like that, you know. And so I just need to be very aware, because I stopped my friend the other day. I don't want my daughter to hate me. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want, I tell her not, I'm not telling my mom, I don't want that. So I'm very much approaching motherhood in a way that's like, it's like mothering all over again, really. Because it's new. Like, the mom that she needed when she was five is not who she needs at 12.
Man, isn't that something?
Yeah.
Like almost a reintroduction to motherhood with every
It really is.
phase. Yeah, absolutely.
We're not, you know, she's a girl, but Nora looks, she likes the game. I don't get that. You know what I mean? But I have to make sure that I, you know, encourage her through that. Like, I'll go to the library with her when they have like gaming competitions, and she loves that. I don't care for it much, but I still go. So I'm gonna be there, and I'm gonna be involved, and I love her, so I do things for her. You know what I mean? Like, and then we have Micah. Micah this girl is something else, but they're two different children, and I have to understand that they're two different children with two different personalities, and so I have to mother accordingly. So
Yeah, that's so true. I had this moment. I remember when I was pregnant with my fourth baby, and I would just get so excited for all the ultrasounds and stuff. And then he was born, and he started to do all these different things, and he's taking his first step, or he's starting to crawl. And I was so excited. And I remember we had my husband's little brother living with us at the time, and he's a teenage boy, right? He's like, oh, they're babies. And he's like, you've done this like three other times already. Like, you still get so excited. Even though this is your fourth time around. And I was like, isn't God good like that? That there's bajillions of us that he has experienced, okay, throughout the course of from creation until now. Yet we know that all of heaven rejoices every time a new member is welcomed into the family. And what you're talking about with your girls reminds me of that. It's like God is so intentional. Like the way that God speaks to me and connects with me is going to be different than the way he does for you or for her and for him and for him, because he knows the needs of his individual children. And when I'm with my kids, so I have my boys, and so oftentimes I've had the opportunity to participate in raising other people, like boys, always boys, it's always boys in my home.
knows what he's doing with you, honestly. He really
Gosh.
does. And you'll see it someday soon, I promise you.
Man, all these wives, five of my own. We've had a couple other like relatives that are boys that we have to take care of. Every time with every one of them, I'm always like trying to be mindful of like what is the way that they need me to connect, that they need me to talk to them, that they need me to engage with them or discipline them or lead them and all of those things. And I'm only capable of that because motherhood is sanctifying it. I know that if God is able and willing to do that for me and you and her and him, that I can do that for my little bundle of kids that he's given me. And so when you were saying that, it reminds me of that. And how blessed are your daughters that you are that intentional and mindful and that you want to practice those things with them? Because I don't know, like I was raised different, okay? It was like a one, when I was being raised, it was a one size fits all, kids stay in their place. And
Imagine that times 10.
you feel me? Like, yeah, I didn't have no African mama either, so I know.
Empathetic parents,
Right,
okay?
right,
Well, let
right,
me tell you, I gave someone something with my left hand, and back home, you don't do that. You don't give nobody nothing with the, because the left hand is like the bad hand. I am 43 years old, girl. 43, and I gave someone something with the left hand. I was like, I'm sorry. That girl was like, what do you mean? Like, what's wrong? I'm like, girl, it's so ingrained. But
Yeah.
imagine that, you know what I mean? So if I'm thinking about this and I'm thinking about how I raise my children, imagine something that small still put into we I don't have a choice. I have to be intentional with my kids
Yeah.
and to have trauma.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's beautiful. And just that mindfulness is so powerful and obviously will penetrate the generations that come from you because you are deciding, you know, to be that intentional, that mindful. So kudos to you. That's beautiful. I love that. And I want to go back to what you said about entrepreneurship and what it has taught you. And you were talking about motive, like how motive matters. And you had these big moments. Like I've seen Pine Size Faith do some dope things, like some really big things. And how humbling for you to say that when these big things were happening for our business, and I acknowledged that I was like more attached to the created thing than the creator, I pulled back. And I'm curious, you know, I think a lot of us can get lost in the success or the big moments that we refuse to like turn our faces back to a position of worship. What are some of the ways that you have seen God engage you in your heart and even your business in that decision to humble yourself and fix your eyes back on Him? Because for a lot of us, we would just keep chasing that money, okay? Like we would just keep chasing that success in those big moments. How hard? So yeah, what are some of the ways that you've seen God like connect with you in your decision to humbly put that on pause so that you can come back to a position of worship?
For me, it's as simple as I like to hear from God and I like to be close. I want to be a friend. And so nothing is that important to me. Nothing matters more than don't know how to explain it. I don't ever want to be in a position where I idolize anything.
Yeah.
And idolatry for me personally is just, I don't go with that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anything
Yeah.
in it that I'm very aware. And when it comes to the Lord and just spiritual matters in general. And so when I sense that I'm doing something that does not honor him or my time with him,
Right.
it needs to be cut off. I don't care what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's serious to me. Now, it's just that serious to me.
That's good. That's good.
Girl, I've been through a lot of things, okay? And I don't want to be in a position where I run to something instead of him.
Yeah.
And again, like, you know, business, husbands, children, all these things can be idolized. They can all make them idols. And so I don't ever, I've been there. It's just not worth it for me.
Yeah.
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 It's a conviction for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you make those decisions to like pause a good like a good thing as in good for like monetary gain, right? And even like your name, like it makes you look good, you know, to have something that's thriving and so successful. When you make the decision to like pause that, is there anything in you that worries about losing momentum or not getting that paycheck or not? Is there anything in you that worries about that?
We've had this conversation before back in the day when you were still in, I think, in Albuquerque or, you know, I don't remember, but
All the places I don't live.
right, all of them. But I think you said something like, I don't care. Honestly, I don't care anymore. I used to. I don't. Because And also, I don't really believe that what's for me is for me. I don't believe in that. What's I'll get back there in a second. I do believe that what God has ordained will happen, and if I honor Him first, everything will come back to me. Like, I believe that. I believe that if you seek Him first, all things will add up. To, you know, He'll give all those things back to you. And so, and like the name that I made myself with who? Men? You know what I mean? Like, those things don't matter to me anymore. They used to when I was a baby in the faith and baby in, business,
So
but
how did you get there? How did you get to that place?
I think a lot of it had to do with my husband because he's very much like he encourages me not to worry about certain things, right? But I think for me personally, I had to come to the point again to where if God gave it to me, He gonna fix it. Like I just got, I don't know, it took some time, but also it took some time, but I always realized that he always came through. And so every time I got away from doing something that I was supposed to be doing, and I went back to him, it always worked out. I have like no explanation. But
I think you do. That's a beautiful explanation. You know what I'm hearing is you just looked at the Ebenezer stones that had been set up along the way.
Period. That's it. That's what I know what he's done before. Not to say that he's gonna do it again, but I just know that he's done it before. But also, I feel like it's also like him showing me over and over again that he is God. I don't need to keep like, why well, keep doing this? I shouldn't have to pause my business like 10 times, girl. Like, why do you keep, you know what I mean? What's that? Like, what? I don't know how to explain it.
That's really good, sis. I like, even with what you're saying, like, I just believe or I just know that if God ordained it, and it's like, I just know, like, I just believe that God has ordained this thing, or also that God does not withhold any good thing from me. So if something is being withheld from you, then it was not actually good, right? And what I'm hearing in all of the parts of your story, when you're talking about motherhood and you're talking about the ways that you're intentional with your own daughters, it's because you remember your own trauma or your own experiences. When you're talking about clinging to faith after losing your baby, it's because you remembered. And then you're talking about also these moments, like Micah got the commercial for the hospital, and this was the name of it. You remembered, and so much of your story, what I'm hearing, like if we go back to the beginning, we're talking about like having even just pint-sized faith, and we're at this point now in the conversation. What I'm hearing is that you remembered God. You remembered what God has done, and you set up, and maybe even sometimes you don't realize, maybe your husband sets it up, or maybe God sets it up, or maybe even your daughter set it up, these little Ebenezer stones along the way, because when, just like the Israelites, when you look upon that thing, you remember what God has done, and it ushers you into a new level of faith.
And
I love
amen.
that so much.
Let me share a story with you. In the condo, when we moved from one place to another, when I first moved to Chicago in 2007, we had like a small apartment, and we ended up moving to a bigger place. And in our first apartment, I hated that there was no hidden garbage. Like, I didn't like that. Nobody knew but me and the room. And so when you say I remember, no, he also remembers us, like really. And so we end up moving into a different place. And as soon as we walked into the kitchen, I opened the cupboard and there was a hidden garbage in that. Girl, nobody knew. And that's how I knew that God, like he cares about the smallest things. Like he's a God that cares about small details. I just say to say to say. You say we remember God, but also He remembers us. You know what I mean?
He set up another Ebenezer for you in that trash can.
Garbage can, girl. It's a trash can. Like that good, you
He
know?
cares that much, right?
There is, yeah. Yes, man.
I love that. I love that. And I kind of want to hear what you were going to say when you said that what's for me is for me.
Oh
Like,
yeah.
I want to kind of hear your thoughts about that. Because that's very trendy. That's very trendy on social media.
Trendy, but there are a lot of things that are trendy that are not necessarily true. I think what I mean to say with that is, I think sometimes when we say things like "what's for me is for me," we kind of get lazy in the acquiring of the thing because we think that it's just going to be money. And sometimes, I'm going to give you an example. If you get into a car, the car is there. Are you just going to sit in it? Is it not going to drive? Is it going to drive itself? I'm not talking about my old test. I'm talking about like just in the car. You know what I mean? There's a thing that you take steps to get to certain things. You know what I mean? And so sometimes what's for you is for you may not be for you. And you're just there taking things that you shouldn't have. Girl, it's deep. My husband and I have these conversations all the time, but I don't believe that everything, what's for you is for you. Sometimes we just don't take the steps to get the things that are truly for us. We just wait for them to come and then we don't. Don't know.
No, that actually makes a lot of sense. Like it can keep us stagnant, that mindset.
Exactly.
Yeah, I do get that. Like if I believe that what's for me is for me, it can put me in this position of just sitting and waiting when we are actually like co-laborers with Christ, right? And so we do, yeah, we do our hands and our feet do matter in the subject. And so my question would be, what, how do you pair that with faith, right? So like sometimes I think when people are like, oh, what's for me is for me, they're really trying to position themselves in a place of faith. Sometimes they're just trying to like sit around and wait for it, like I just hope it all falls into my lap. But sometimes there could be this thought of like, I'm just gonna have faith that this will happen. Now faith without works is dead, says James, right? And so the book of James. So what, in what ways have you seen, maybe in just your own story, that the work of your hands and feet paired with your faith or partnered with your faith has produced what actually God has for you?
Maybe just in business. I'll say that. We wanted to create a brand that represented Christ. We wanted a brand that was cool and that people want to wear. And so what did we do? We took the steps to figure out how to establish ourselves as, a brand, how to build websites, how to go about build like just building a business together. And then we knew that if he applies for it and it honors him, it's gonna work. I mean, to a certain extent. And so faith without works, we had faith, we put in the work and then how.
Boom. Yeah. Essence. Boom. Tyler Perry Studios. Boom. Boom. No, I love
Girl.
that. I love that.
But I think everything worth having takes work. Your relationship with God, if you want to grow in the faith, there are certain things you're just gonna have to read your word if you want to hear from God. You cannot. There's just a method to everything. There's ways to do things, and if you want to be successful or not or just in everything, you just need to do things and to apply yourself and just see the fruit.
I love that. I love that, sis. I love so much of what you said today. Just you're just reminding me that there is like a simplicity to this journey, that it doesn't have to be overcomplicated, that faith doesn't have to be overcomplicated. And you've always done a really good job at like bringing me down to like I could be like way like over worried, over stressed, over complicating things. And you always like just do such a good job at being like faith. It, oh my gosh, sorry, Zoom. It just does these weird little things. Like when I put my hand up right now, it was just like giving me a high five.
Yeah.
But yeah, not right, like okay. But yeah, not overcomplicating it. I love that. And like you said, getting in your word and just listening for God and just remembering the things that He has done and looking for the moments where He reminds you that He also remembers you. I love that so much, sis.
I've had to learn because I was super anxious too. I was like anxiety and me were like we went together, but that's in the past. I have literally learned to believe, not only say it. When I was telling you, I had to believe it. I had to believe it, and I believe it now. Like every day, I wake up and I think, okay, Thank you for breath in my body. Thank you. Do you understand? Like, chewing is worship as well. Like, the act of eating is also worship. Do you know how much work your body takes to take a bite of something? Like, think of that. Like, you know, the glands, the swallowing, everything about it is orchestrated so beautifully. You know what I mean? By God. And so when you start looking at life like that, you see things differently.
I love that.
Like, we're just walking. Do you know how many people can't walk? Some people didn't wake up this morning. You know what I mean? Like, when you start living that way, you appreciate everything much more. It took me a minute to get here, though. I'm just letting you know. I didn't wake up like this. Like, it took me a minute to get here, but
Would you say it was through experiences that got you to this place?
hardships.
Hardship.
A lot of them. And also, like, I think that one of my husband's favorite scriptures is in the book of James. He says, consider it joy when you go through
I
hardship.
was literally about to say,
I
James says,
hated that scripture. And I would be like, please stop saying that. Please stop. But now I know why. Because it has made me who I am now.
It has done, like when you were talking, I literally was about to, that was my response. She was going to be, James says, consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, when you go through trials of various kinds,
Girl, there he is.
for suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces steadfastness. And then it goes on to talk about how it like completes this work in you. You know, it does this work in you, and you literally are sharing that gospel truth with us right now. That's why the word of God is truly like living and active, because yeah, as you're talking, all like all these scriptures are shooting in my brain, in my mind. Like everything you're saying is reminding me of a verse. And so
But you're like a Bible scholar, so
no, I read a lot of the Bible, okay? But no, like consider it pure joy. Like your response to me right now is something that I hope that if people don't hear anything else from this podcast, I hope that they hear what you just said is what got you there, and it was hardship. And now you kind of can understand the concept of consider it pure joy when you face trials, because you know that God is not wasting that thing. That it is not God that is like putting you through the trials, right? It's not God that's, but because He's such a good father, He's not gonna let you sit there and be overcome by it. He's not gonna waste that thing. And so that suffering is gonna produce endurance, and that endurance is gonna produce steadfastness, and that steadfastness is gonna produce pint-sized faith, and that endurance is gonna produce the books, the blogs, the you speaking into like 24-year-old Jaleesa's life when I'm like battling some of the hardships. 25-year-old Jaleesa, 26-year-old Jaleesa, 27-year-old Jaleesa who's about to launch a business, 28-year-old, like your suffering and your and ability to be attached to God in that and allow Him to produce that endurance and that steadfastness has changed so many of our lives. So many women in your cloud of witnesses, so many of the young men and women who get to watch your life, not just your daughters and then the children who will come from them and the children who will come from them, but my sons, sis, all the way across the globe or across the map in the desert, you know, my sons. Some of our friends that we know who have been going through hardship, their children and their children's children will be affected because you had pint-sized faith, because you looked upon those Ebenezers, because you saw God in the midst of the suffering and in the midst of the trial, like when the enemy was knocking at your door because you had to birth a child without breath in their lungs. And you looked back to Jesus. And when you were angry, you didn't turn your face from him. You know, you wrestled with that, but you looked back to Jesus. And in all of those moments and in all of that trauma and in all of the things that we don't even know. We only get have talked to you for a short time. We have no idea, but you look to Jesus, sis, and now your stones are my stones and your stones are her stones. And because of that, sis, like your cloud of witnesses is vast and it's beautiful. And so thank God for you. and your pint sized faith and your pint sized faith.
Amen, girl.
Because it is to me, what is pint sized to you is a freaking Mount Everest to me, okay? And God is good like that. God is good like that.
So, girl, thank you.
Not you covering the camera.
No, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I
You're
love you
such
so much,
a breath of
sis.
fresh air. No, I don't think you're like, I love you, Teresa.
Oh, I love you.
Like, I don't love everybody, Lord. You know that, but. I do. I'm kidding. I like you. Like I just love you. That's
Oh, I
all.
love you.
You're just so intentional about everything, and it shows. Like you
Thank
have a
you.
heart for women, and it shows. Like you're so good. If people see you and you don't see God, something wrong with them. That's all. You know what I mean? It's true. It's true. It's true. You deserve every good thing that God has for you. And I just can't wait to hug you when I see you in a few weeks, 2 months. It's good
Ah,
to
sis, don't
see
do me
you.
like this.
No, it's true. It's true. I'm telling the truth. I'm telling
Thank
the truth.
you.
I don't say things I don't mean, babe. I sure don't. Yeah.
Well,
So.
thank you. That means a lot. That really does. Thank you. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so grateful for this time and this conversation, and just for you being here and you blessing us with your wisdom, with your story. I don't take for granted or take lightly a woman sharing her story with me because, you know, your story is it's vulnerable. It's raw. It's, you know, to be able to share your story with someone is, it takes like a level of courage and of boldness. And so I don't take that lightly. And I also don't take lightly like holding that in my heart. And you know, like one thing about me, I'm gonna pray over my girls. I'm gonna pray over your
Good.
stories. You know, and so I really appreciate you for being here, sis. And before we end, I would love for you to share with a woman listening that could maybe have just lost a child, or that could maybe be in the pursuit of entrepreneurship, or that could maybe have come from like really intense upbringing and wanting to do something different. There's so many parts of your story that several different kind of women can attach to. And to any of those women in any of those areas, I would love for you to just share like a word of encouragement to just spur them on in their journey. If they might be struggling to have faith, or if they might be struggling to remember God.
Here's what I know now. Everything has a purpose. Everything has and you may not understand it. Like a few years ago, when I was at Rush Hospital, I didn't know that this moment was going to come where I was able to encourage others through your platform. But God, you know what I
Well.
mean? And so, with that being said, everything has a purpose. We may not understand it in the moment, but it'll make sense eventually. If not here, on the other side. You know what I mean? Even when I think of me being African, raised by a mom and a dad from like Africa, all the disciplines, it has disciplined me in business. I'm very much disciplined in business because of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
And
that's
so
good.
like these things matter. But in the moment, we might not understand it, but it has a purpose. Event, and you'll see it eventually. Time goes by fast. Because honestly,
Man.
this was what 12 years ago, I want to say. And I can talk about it now. I couldn't 12 years ago. You know what I mean? Like I couldn't even think about it. What would make me sad? God, like He restores your heart. Like He really does. And so I want people to know that everything has a purpose. We may not understand it now, but it does.
That's
Imagine,
so good.
like this friendship was orchestrated before we were even born.
I know that's
Like that.
crazy. I
You know what I mean?
know.
Everything has a purpose.
I love that God works all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28 did not lie to us, okay?
That's my mom's favorite scripture.
Yeah, can you say it in French though?
I don't know it. I can read it. I can read French.
I'm about to
But
make you just talk to me in French all
sure, I was like, don't
the
we read the Bible in French here? Am I the only one who does it? Like,
That's
obviously,
so cool.
French. Yeah, so.
I love that. Well, sis, thank you so much for your time, for your wisdom, for your grace, for your, if you're watching on YouTube, you, if you're not watching on YouTube, you can't see. My sis is fine, okay? She's a baddie out here in these streets, okay? I mean, she's not really in the street. She serves the Lord. She loves her husband, but she's
Right.
fine, okay?
You fine too, but when we get together, it's about to be.
Girl, it's about to be.
And
Oh, I cannot wait.
I pick my outfit because
Yeah, you already know. You already know.
I
Yes.
cannot wait.
I can't wait. It is literally going to be like a God dream when we all get to be together that week. Oh, I cannot wait. I love you, sis, so much.
Thank you for this opportunity. I pray that God opens doors to me that no man can shut. Every path is crooked, make him straight, Lord, for you. And I'm just, the hand of God is on you and on this path. Remember, I said.
Oh, I will. That's going to be my Ebenezer.
Period.
Period. I love you so much, sis.
Thank you.
Hey, sis. Oh, my goodness. Can you guys believe that today is the 1 month anniversary of the podcast? Yes, that is right. Hey, Sis, Yes, You podcast launched exactly 1 month ago today. And what a beautiful and rich month it has been. Over the last month, I have had women reach out to me from all over the world, sharing their personal stories of how this podcast has blessed their lives, and it is such a blessing to mine. I am humbled and I am honored that you guys would choose to tune into this podcast every week and listen to my conversations with these wonderful women, and that you share it, that you review it, that you comment on it, and all of the ways that you have supported and loved this podcast. Wow. I hope that it continues to bless you guys, as I don't plan on slowing down anytime soon. Keep commenting, keep reviewing, and most importantly, keep sharing it to your sis and praying that she will be blessed by this too. I love you guys so much from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for being here. Tune in next week for another incredible conversation. I pray that you all have a beautiful week. Be blessed. See you back here next time.